We are having a little episode, trying to get people connected by a conference call. You know how it is. You put a little layer of technology, and then phew, the wheels fly off.
Oh, yeah, just big fly in the ointment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So today's April 30th, 2023. My name is Aaron Ryan.
My name is Bill Cundiff. Our sponsor this hour is Pepe Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. Right now, they've got some great deals going on tractors and mowers. If you're looking for a mower, you better get in and get one because they are flying out of there. In fact, some of the models they are already sold out of, but they do still have a pretty good inventory on hand of some of them. So go in and see them. They're located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake. Or give them a call. Their phone number is 530-226-9226.
Nice.
Yeah. Catch them on the web at
Pape Machinery. That's P-A-P-E
machinery.com.
Hey, Bill, I heard that John Deere won Best in Show for Show and Shine this year down at Cool April Nights. Is that true?
For flying tractors.
Yeah, they're always right in the top 10.
You can't go wrong there. Sorry, is your sound messed up? Oh, yes, the thrill of it all. So today we thought we would do a little thing on activism. There. How about that?
Nope.
Bill? Bill's nope. Got no sound. Huh. Well, we'll be doing Bill with sign language. Closed captioning. That's it. Nothing like radio with closed captioning. We thought we would talk about activism. And specifically for all the people who are having issues with marijuana infiltration in their community, I guess we'll call it infiltration, just because everybody's giving me hand signals. I apparently can't speak and read hand signals at the same time.
Aaron,
is everyone happy now?
Oh no, you're way too loud.
Everybody's not happy now?
No, we're way too loud. There we go. It's getting better.
Okay, well,
there.
You have no sound now.
No, I can hear you fine.
Oh, okay. Well, then there's something wrong. So would you guys like to introduce yourselves? We've got Officer Joe and Kathy with us, and then we have several people on the phone that we will conference in here momentito. Yeah.
And if you can hear the sirens in the background, I've invited a couple of friends over today.
I wish you had told me that ahead of time.
No big deal.
I'll be right back.
I'm getting blown out by sound, guys. It's
Pull it off your ear.
Yeah, way too loud. Thank you. This is what happens when you have live radio, folks. And Liam, our engineer, is monitoring us. So now I can't hear anything. And there we go. Good.
Okay. Your needs are quickly becoming irrelevant.
And Aaron, just to let you know, we are now all officially logged in. Our guests are on.
The miracle of technology.
They're texting me. We have four devices going, and all of your guests are here today.
Nice.
And these are the women of marijuana activism.
All right. So while you're on Man of Marijuana Activism,
yes.
Give people a little snapshot of your background a bit.
So most of the community knows that I'm a career peace officer, and that marijuana is near and dear to my heart. And while I understand marijuana is legal here in the state of California, it's still federally illegal. And I interface with our department on all the illegal marijuana that goes on in our community. And for people should understand that this week a study came out and shows that more marijuana is consumed by Americans than beer or chocolate. So it's already exceeded that use, and that's only legal marijuana, which is only accounts for about a quarter of the marijuana that's consumed in the United States. So three-quarters of the amount of marijuana being consumed in this country is illegal, and the legal market is dwarfed by that.
Wow.
Boo-hoo. None of this should be legal to begin with. My name's Kathy, and I've been in the prevention business for going on 12 years. Like Officer Joe, I've made it my mission to educate and make our leaders aware of the dangers of marijuana. I speak for our youth, because I feel like our youth are not getting the voices they need to lead a drug-free life. We are the marijuana people, and our leaders are shoving this drug down their throats, and we need to stand up as moms and grandmas and very concerned citizens and work on changing some of these ordinances and laws.
And Kathy, let me echo that before we bring on our other three guests, is that the amount of money that's now going into the coffers of politicians, it's all corrupting. And that includes local politicians here in Redding. And as our guests in Southern California today are going to speak to, they'll also talk about all that money that's going into politicians' pockets in Southern California, and also our guest today from Lassen.
Well, it's, and I guess I always kind of hate that expression, it's all going in their pockets, to make it sound like they're getting, like, at, like somehow they're getting checks under the table. What's happening the most is that it's going into the county and city budgets.
Right.
By way of grants and other things to pave the way for a takeover of this. And it looks like, hey, you guys are struggling, so if you just legalized some, you know, commercial growing or some retail space, you bring in all this tax money, and that would be great. And it's like,
isn't there a fair amount of campaign contributions?
And then there's the campaign stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all legal. I mean, they can donate money if they want.
Right.
It's just you should kind of know who's supporting the people that are making the rules in your community.
Right.
And you know what, Aaron? We should talk to Amy, because she's going to talk to us about Susanville, California, and what happened over there.
Let's talk to Amy. I actually put up bios for all the people if you want to see who we're chatting with at wethepeopleradio.us. And so Amy helped put together a grassroots group that informed and educated her community about what the approval of commercial marijuana outlets would unleash in her community. That voters in 2022 returned a 64% no vote. Amy credits dozens of dedicated individuals she worked with in this successful effort to take her community back and keep it out of the clutches of the marijuana people.
Way to go, Amy.
Way to go,
Added
Amy.
Added that. Okay, so from a boots on the ground standpoint, Amy, what would you tell people who maybe have this looming in their community?
Yes, hi, good afternoon. Thank you for having me on. You know, one of the biggest things that I would say that to credit with the success of this grassroots campaign is to let everybody know exactly how it will affect them personally. People are busy with their lives, they have families, they have their own personal tragedies, and they're just very busy. We're all very busy people. And one of the things I credit is, of course, everybody just, you know, banding together, helping out people I didn't even know, just spreading the word of mouth. We had handouts, we had flyers, we went door to door. People were talking to Ring doorbells, just getting the message out there. Had it on YouTube, encouraged people to grab their popcorn, kick back, and see what exactly will happen in their community. That being said, videos. Showing the citizens exactly what could happen in their neighborhood, in their area, down from the church, down from tourist spots in our community, and it really woke people up. I don't think that people are really going to sit up and take notice until they realize how it will directly affect them. We just had dozens of people just, you know, going door to door, and you know, it had to do with manufacturing, distribution, and sales. It would have just been a broad spectrum of marijuana activity in this community. By the way, both the city and the county were actively involved in campaigning for the legalization of commercial marijuana in Lassen County and also in the city of Susanville. So we had quite the uphill battle educating both county and city residents as to what could happen, you know, in our community if this commercialization was allowed.
And Amy, in the case of Susanville, if I recall, for people that don't know, Susanville is a small community in northeastern California. It's high desert. It's where some of our big prisons were. They're currently closing. It's a depressed community, I would say. But Amy, didn't during the pandemic your political leaders there take advantage of the pandemic to try to ram through some marijuana protocols that would personally have benefited them, actually benefited the city council? I mean, financially. Am I correct on that?
Indeed, there were meetings. There was one citizen in particular that cried out on Facebook to please not address this during the COVID pandemic because everybody was too busy, you know, sheltering in place. But some officials went forward and pressed on with trying to get this shoved down our throats. Additionally, almost a year to this day, I was at a city council meeting where three councilmen basically ignored a room full of people who pled to please put this on the ballot, please put this measure on the ballot. And they shoved an ordinance right down our throat. They ignored everybody who pled with them to please put this on the ballot so we may have a voice. They went ahead and they legalized it. And we only had about a month from that date to hurry up, get it done, get it legally approved, get it submitted to the city and approved, and made the deadline with a lot of signatures over. So it was the recall measure that we had, which recalled that ordinance to allow the public to vote on it. And as was mentioned earlier, the public gave a resounding no to both at the ballot box, to both the city and the county, which they had done many other times before, you know, verbally. But this time it was a vote of the people on paper, bona fide, that no, over 60% in both the city and the county, resounding no to commercialization of the manufacture, distribution, sales of marijuana. And by the way, on Senate Bill 58, on another topic, because they're doing the same marijuana playbook, is the psychedelic mushrooms. Senator Scott Wiener is trying to legalize certain hallucinogenic substances using the same rationale as the marijuana people. And this is very dangerous stuff as well, and it's very frightening to our children and to our community. So just to let the listeners know to please pay attention to that Senate Bill 58, and I just encourage everybody to call their state representatives, their county representatives, to quash Senate Bill 58.
Isn't it true that your political leaders intended on turning your city and your county, their vision was that they were going to turn it into the leading place for cannabis-tourism in the United States?
You know, they were saying, oh, we're going to make this the hub. Literally, they said the hub of marijuana activity. Then people that spoke out and told them that that's what was said, then the other side was calling them liars when it was in print. And it was shown that they said that. They literally wanted this to be the hub of marijuana activity. They wanted it to be the wine valley of marijuana, Napa Valley of marijuana.
Isn't it interesting? Because in my investigations, we have a commercial grower here in the city of Redding that's a legal grower. However, our investigations reveal that he's connected to illegal grows in your community, a county away. And so I find it, this is something that I experience on a pretty regular basis, where you'll see a legal dispensary or a legal marijuana provider will then go out and use any source necessary to get their product. And that's also probably where a lot of our contaminated product comes into the system. So congratulations, Amy. I know that you were on the I remember that you were on the side of the road, that you were out there with signs, and you motivated the community, and you got some community groups behind you. So, and you got radio, which was very important.
Yes, and, Doug LaMalfa's office, you officer, Kathy, all of you were just instrumental in, you know, getting us some information and helping us to move forward as well, and I just thank you all so much for that. And another thing I want to mention, you know, the playbook that they're going by is to tell people, oh, this is a medicine to relieve your pain and your emotional problems. They're doing that with marijuana, and they're attempting to do that with mushrooms. And unfortunately, Oregon has, you know, it has given the green light to go ahead and do the mushrooms. But it's just very, very disconcerting, and I'm just very grateful that the people of Lassen County and the city of Susanville stepped up to the plate and voted this out. I'm extremely grateful to everybody who voted no.
It's like our society has been taken over by something mental. We have half the people going gluten free, and the rest of them are going to be taking magic mushrooms. It's like, what the
well,
what is wrong with this picture?
And I think as a society, we need to remember when the people say, well, it doesn't really affect me, so I don't really care. And I'm like, but it does. It totally does.
Or worse yet, they say, this is politics, and it's depressing. You know what? I don't find quality of life politics. I have never, ever been an activist in my life, and I don't like that label. I'm just a lady that cares that we have a decent place to live. I'm just a lady that cares that people that are around me are sober-minded and not going to hurt me, my family, my neighbors, people I worship with. I just happen to care. That's all. And I don't play games. I don't twist words. I use facts just like you all do. It's just something that we don't like recreational drugs. Yes, you are to be sober-minded. Yes, I understand there's alcohol out there. But it's what we do with those and how we treat others that truly matter.
I think it's important for our listeners to understand, Amy, before you took up this charge, you were not an activist. You didn't know anything about political activism. You didn't know how to organize.
There's always a thing, a catalyst that kind of moves us in that direction.
And you know what that was?
Hold that thought, Amy. Let's cliffhanger them. We have to take a really quick break. We'll be right back. We have a little song for the thing that always gets us in trouble with this particular issue. We'll be right back. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. Can't go wrong with beer for my horses. All right. So, Amy, you were living your life, going about your own business, and then suddenly you were standing on the side of the road holding signs about commercial marijuana growing.
Well, what happened is I attended that meeting, and I was just shocked that the city council had ignored a room full of people. So I talked to another woman in the community, and I happened to learn that there were a lot of people that felt the same way I did. And this movement just grew. And like I said, people I didn't even know were collecting signatures to get this on the ballot for a referendum. And that was really quite the learning curve as well, because none of us had ever done anything like this before. And so it was just a movement that just grew despite great pushback from many of the proponents of this measure. We really got a lot of stuff hurled at us, but we just pressed on.
Amy, I know that. Thank you, first of all, for coming today. I know that you're working and your time is of essence. If you could do a summation, what do you think is the future? What do you think is coming back next year? Do you think they're going to come back at you again, your community, and try this all over again?
I did hear that, they wanted to, quote, craft a better ordinance. And I have heard that, they're not going to give up. And I just hope and pray that people will still pay attention. And if it comes back around again, then we would have to do the same thing again. Hopefully, we wouldn't have to do another referendum. Hopefully people would just go to the ballot box like they did and vote, and also more importantly, vote the people out that intend to shove these ordinances down our throat and shame us I've had a councilman sit up there and say, oh, you church-going people, and you're not compassionate, and you're not this, because they're twisting the truth and saying that, oh, my goodness, you don't have any compassion. Yes, we do. We have medical marijuana, and I get that people have Parkinson's. I get that people are suffering from cancer. I get that, and I applaud that they have a way to ease their pain and their symptoms. I get that. But what I don't get is when somebody is trying to twist, shoving pot down our throats for their personal gain, to pimp out our land and our resources and our water and our children for their personal gain. That is just wrong on every level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it seems to be the same. It's a really similar story in everybody's community. So thanks tons, Amy, for being with us, and you guys keep up the fight, because we know it never stops. They just keep coming back.
And we got your back,
thank
Amy.
You.
We got We're your here. Back, Amy. Oh, we'll be there.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much. You guys are awesome. Thank you so much. And I just, again, just encourage people to vote these people out. Show your citizens how it will directly affect them and their family. Take your videos. But thank you so much. Thank you very much, Kathy, Aaron, and Officer Doakes. Thank you so much for your help. We're just so grateful, and God bless you.
God bless you. Well,
great meeting you.
Take care.
Good to get involved in. You know, it's interesting, too, because it's not always the people that you think that are the proponents, and it's not always the, I mean, you would think it'd be, you know, it's drug dealers. It's not drug dealers. That's not who's promoting this, actually.
No.
And for the folks that are still confused about whether or not this is a medicine issue, I would direct you to wethepeopleradio.us and go to the tab that is marked pot. We've done a lot of shows about the fake medical side with this. And we have Dr. Finn on next week. I don't have his bio up, but... let's see, I can do that, though, in like 4 seconds, because I should promote that while we're at it. He is a guy that is the founder of the International Academy on Science and the Impact of Cannabis, and he is a doctor. So he graduated from the University of Texas, completed his residency in physical medicine and rehabilitation from the University of Utah, board certified in pain management since 1998, practicing medicine in Colorado Springs since 1994. So this is a guy who's all about pain management, and so you're going to hear the rest of that story.
And the scam of the 60-second marijuana card.
Exactly. So May 7th, we'll be talking to him. So for those of you that are conflicted about the medical aspect of that and maybe don't want to listen to the archives, although they're free, and they have no interruptions, and they're free to listen to. So we hope you'll make that up.
And I think I've said it before. The marijuana proponents always want to bring you to their side, and they always want to use medicine as the excuse. And to me, I'm like, I get it. I totally get it. But if we want to really make this a medicine, then let's get FDA approval. Let's get a dosage requirement, and that is not what they want.
No, they don't want that.
And as the PSAs we've heard in the midst of this show, no medicines are smoked. Oops. Awkward.
Well, and
when was the last time your doctor told you to take it home and smoke it?
Yeah, and what doctor tells you, especially the marijuana doctors, say, well, you should only be taking a milligram every 12 hours. And how do you know that's what you're getting?
That's a bite of a cookie, Kathy.
Yeah,
come on, everyone knows that.
And if it's not addicting, why is there a 2,500% increase of vaping marijuana on airplanes, which is actually having pilots bring the airplanes down because of the problems that it creates? The people then have violent tendencies, attitudes.
Can you vape on a plane?
No.
I was like, did something happen while I was sleeping?
Oh, no.
So what are people sneaking in the bathroom? Is this like cigarettes in the bathroom?
Yeah.
They are?
There's now thousands of FAA investigations that I have in my hand, and I will send you, Aaron, that was sent to me by Heidi, actually, and through Jay LeBlanc, through a Freedom of Information Act.
Well, we'll chat with her about that
here
in a few minutes. Oh, well, I'm a knucklehead. So we're moving to Carolyn this time, Carolyn Petty. She has over 25 years of executive financial and management experience, served as a member and the mayor of the Hermosa Beach City Council from 2013 to 2017. Always illuminating when you take on those kinds of roles. She has partnered with Heidi Swan that we will meet here in a little bit. And Carolyn helped lead the opposition campaign to Measure M, which would have overturned the ban on cannabis dispensaries in Hermosa Beach, California. It was resoundingly defeated with 72% of the electorate voting no. That's the thing, when they beat these measures, it's not 51%.
No.
I mean, it's a lot.
Yeah,
well,
not by a little bit.
It's not like a squeaker.
And amazing, in a beach community, which you'd think would be uber liberal in Southern California.
She advised and assisted Manhattan Beach residents who opposed Measure MB, which would also have overturned the ban on cannabis dispensaries in Manhattan Beach. I'm assuming that's the MB part. That measure was also defeated. Guess the percent.
80.
77.
Oh, there you go.
Pretty good. They all voted no. So she's also served on numerous boards, including the Hermosa Beach Education Foundation, the Chamber of Commerce, Harbor Interfaith Services, and the League of California Cities. So, welcome aboard, Carolyn.
Thank you for having me.
So, was this the first activisting thing that you did, or were you activisting before?
It's so funny because I kind of feel the same way as Amy, that I don't consider myself to be an activist. I care about my community. I care about the people who live here. And that really was my motivation. I always kind of felt that activism has kind of some negative connotations.
That's only if you're not good at it.
Yeah, I guess. But I'm like Amy. I care about my community. I care about the people who live here. And that's what really drove me. And then also it's really important to have a partner in all of this. And having the partner in Heidi was really critical. It's really hard to do things like this alone.
Don't you feel like you're an educator as much as an activist?
Well, I would say that Heidi, this is why we're such a great team, Heidi played the role of educator on the product itself, the harms of the product itself. But what I was able to bring to the discussion was how to run a campaign.
Yep.
Because I ran a campaign when I was an elected official. I understand land use, and some of those things are important. So there's kind of many aspects of a political campaign. It's the knowledge, it's the experience, and then it's knowing what you're fighting.
Right. So your particular issue down there, what kind of kicked that into gear for people? Like how far did they get before you went after them? Maybe that's what I want to ask.
So the first question is, what kicked it into gear is always an interesting one. Just like your previous conversation with Amy, something's going on. City staff, elected officials, one day all suddenly seem to be on board. And we'll never know what was happening behind the scenes, even though we had a sense, because there were definitely meetings going on. And that's the thing, is that these cannabis operators are very smooth operators, I guess you could say. They understand that if they can meet with city staff and they can talk about the financial benefits of having marijuana in your town, then staff talks to the city manager talks to the council members. They present this as a way to make lots of money with minimal downside, and then the whole thing kind of takes on a life of its own. And I think that's what really started it. Now, we were fortunate because our city council, I believe, felt that if they had had the nerve to just pass an ordinance, then the community would have been enraged, and they didn't have the nerve to do that. But I think also, Heidi and I started attending meetings, and we were very vocal. I'm pretty, I guess you could say I'm a bull in a china shop. And so I don't think they dared to do what they did in Susanville, because our community wouldn't have accepted that.
You know what I found, Carolyn? I find that city managers and city attorneys normally are the people that proposed marijuana, and they've been inculcated by the marijuana industry. Obviously, the same, exactly what you said, that money, here is the golden panacea of money for our community. And then what I found, and it's happened here in Northern California, is once they get marijuana in their community and it becomes a disaster, and it usually always does, and I'm going to say usually, there may be some successful cities that embrace marijuana, but I think not based upon all evidence, then the city manager and the city attorney both retire and leave, and they move out of state, which has happened here in this, happened up here in Redding. That's normally what we see and how it gets inculcated into a community. And then it's assigned to staff, and staff gets behind it. In Shasta County, we actually interfaced with staff here, and they didn't want to speak to us at all. They didn't want to talk to prevention. They didn't want to hear any of the evil, wicked, mean, nasty stuff that goes on with marijuana in a community and what it does to the residents. All they wanted to do is how can we successfully bring this into the community and make money? And it was a disaster. And I think, is that what you experienced?
Well, this is a problem, and I'm glad you're bringing this up. I brought this up in another discussion we had. Once a lease has been signed with a cannabis operator because the city has changed the zoning to allow cannabis, it becomes a vested right. Vested rights are nearly impossible to undo. A vested right, a property right, runs with the land. And Grant, I'm going to give a disclaimer. I'm not a lawyer. But a vested property right runs with the land. So let's say a city, like in that scenario just described, let's say a city decides that they want to modify their zoning, they want to allow cannabis dispensaries, and then a property owner signs a lease with a cannabis company. And let's say subsequent to that, the city, the people who live in the city decide this is not good for us, we don't want it anymore, let's change the zoning, let's disallow dispensaries. The problem is that lease that has been signed does not go away. They will stay there. They're not leaving. All you can do is prevent more from opening. Now, let's say, again, disclaimer, I'm not an attorney. Let's say the property owner then decides he doesn't want a dispensary there anymore and he changes it to a restaurant. Then the vested right's gone. But once they're in, you're probably never going to get them out. And that's the scary thing for people and something that's really important for people to understand. You cannot really undo it.
So there's no just change the ordinance and then whoosh, they all get wiped out,
right?
Especially
well, that's why it's so important to realize. It's a vested right.
Yeah, yeah. Open the door.
That's what happened here.
That happens all the time.
Yeah.
Shoot. We'll be right back with Carolyn and Kathy and Officer Joe and Bill and I, and you can find us at We the People Radio
and Heidi.us.
We haven't met Heidi yet.
Okay. This is my fight song. Take back my life song. Prove I'm all right song. My power's turned up. Starting right now, I'll be strong. I'll play my fight song. And I don't really care if nobody else believes. Cause I've still got a lot of fight.
This is Officer Joe with your marijuana safety message. Did you know that the marketing of marijuana is a misogynistic and racist activity? That's right. Most marijuana corporations are owned and controlled by rich, fat cat white corporate types, and most dispensaries are placed into depressed communities of color. These communities can least afford the chains of drug addiction and corporate greed. For more information about marijuana, please visit sources like ALM, Americans Against Legalizing Marijuana, at www.aalm.info. And remember, let's be careful out there.
But I still believe what makes a man really has a chance. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. You've got to be your own man, not a puppet on a string. Never compromise what's right and uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything.
Isn't that just about the long and the short of it? All right. Sorry, Carolyn. Back to you. Uh-oh.
Yes.
Did we lose you?
Yes, Carolyn goes, oh my gosh.
Carolyn, are you still in there?
I'm here.
All right, so
we were talking about how hard it is to get rid of it once it gets
and
in.
She has probably stayed at a Holiday Inn Express, but she's not a lawyer. Got that all squared away.
Right, right. And I think this is one of those areas that until it's litigated, I don't know. But who's gonna fight it? So a property owner makes a lot of money, let's say, because he has a lease with a cannabis operator. A city changes their mind, decides they don't want them anymore. That property owner, there's a lot of value in that lease. And if somebody wants to litigate it, good luck on that one. A group of residents are going to start paying for lawyers to take away that property right? I see it being a very unlikely scenario to undo it. Now, like I said before we went to break, you can prevent more from opening. But then if you really think about it, that one operator is going to become even more valuable because he'll be the only act in town. Very dangerous situation.
Yeah, he'll probably help you block the other guys from opening, actually.
Really good point.
Carol, did you find that you had to become, honestly, you had to become the default expert because you had to be accurate in 100% of what you say, but that the cannabis entrepreneurs in your town could say wild things and make wild predictions, and they never seem to ever be checked for accuracy. Is that something you found in your pursuit?
So that's a really good question. I'm very aligned with Amy. So it's kind of like this, first of all. People care about what affects them personally. And then second of all, you got to keep it simple. Because initially, we were trying to kind of go down the rabbit hole of providing information. And then in the end, if you're going to run a political campaign on anything, if you try to overcomplicate it, you're going to lose people. You got to have a clear message. You got to have an easy message. It's got to be kind of catchy. And leave it at that.
So how did you bring it out as a kitchen table?
About crime.
How did you make it a kitchen table issue? How did you bring it to the
crime?
Crime. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. Just like weed.
Crime. It's like I said, you can kind of go down the rabbit hole, but you say crime, and everybody knows what crime is.
Yeah. Well,
nobody wants it in their neighborhood.
And up here, it's water and environment.
Right.
Carol, have you experienced
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Have you experienced in your community in Southern California the now we were told that once a dispensary opens it's all the crime's going to go down, and now here we're experiencing in Northern California the armed gangs that are taking over marijuana dispensaries and conducting burglaries at night and putting our police officers at risk. Are you seeing any of that go on in Southern California too?
In the beach communities where we are, we kind of are in that little bubble. And because the city's fought it, Manhattan Beach, Hermosa Beach, because we fought it, we haven't really experienced that. We are definitely in our little island, fortunately, knock on wood. I think there's issues in Los Angeles, but I can't really speak to it because we haven't been affected because we've kept it away.
Well, it's a requirement to have a surfboard when you enter. So that no AK-47. You can only have your surfboard.
Do you have ordinances on your beaches for smoking?
Yes, we have an ordinance. Smoking is prohibited all over town, by the way. It's not just on the beach. It's kind of silly. So smoking is prohibited. That's why it's ironic when a council member would actually support marijuana when they don't support tobacco. But that's a whole other conversation.
Right. Right. Can they use the vaping stuff? I mean, it's kind of not smoking, but it is smoking.
I don't believe the ordinance changed since it was put into effect about 2016, I think, is when it was put into effect. Sorry. I don't know if it's modified to include vaping. I honestly don't know. But the reality is this. I mean, you can ban smoking in your town. The police officers have better things to do than chase
right.
somebody
yeah, exactly. Exactly. And they kind of should.
Yeah.
Not me.
You're good to bust the smokers. You got time for that?
Yeah. If they're vaping in public and they're being stupid and affecting other people's free and clean air, they're on my radar.
I know.
Well, I've been known to go into a Starbucks and tap someone on the shoulder and point to the sign that says "No smoking in here," and ask them to leave. I don't have a problem with that.
You're Officer Kathy, then.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, I had no idea.
Yeah. Carolyn, what about the youth in your community? Do you know anything about drug education in your community? And is marijuana on the list of drug education? Because we find a lot of the schools today, you know, they're not really hardcore against marijuana because of liberal educators in the end.
Well, and it's legal, you know.
Teachers, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I that's a really good question for Heidi, and I know she's going to come on soon. But one thing I will say is that when this was being discussed in our town, our school disturbingly did not take a position on it. And
exactly.
I find that highly disturbing that
exactly.
they would not take a position that it was bad for youth. And additionally, we have a health district in our town that is funded by the taxpayers. They took a barely negative mm-hmm. position on it. They just didn't want to even barely get involved when they're a health district. And so, no, it's very disappointing when entities that should care don't have the, I don't know, why should it be called courage to
I'm assuming you pressed them on that. What exactly was the, what was the cover story on why they weren't weighing
in? The school's cover story was, this is political.
Yep.
Even though they could have taken a position, but they used that as their cover story. And then I believe the cover story for the health district, that's kind of a little longer kind of conversation. They won't really explain we can surmise, but they won't really explain why. And I think it was, so I won't even say. They just wouldn't do it. Really.
Wow. So no help there. And now, were you
correct
from a just a timeline standpoint? Were you on City Council when these things were coming up, or were you was this at the same time, or was this after you were already on the council?
I was on the City Council actually from 2013 to 2017, and I think it was 2016 that we imposed the ban, because after Proposition 64, all the cities had the opportunity at that time to ban it,
right.
And we immediately banned it. And I will tell you, nobody had an issue with it for years and years and years until one of the operators decided, I guess 2 years ago now, one of the operators decided he wanted to infiltrate the entire South Bay. But prior to that, nobody really ever had an issue with it.
So now, do you have people on your city council that are friendly with all this?
For sure, yes.
Mm-hmm. And so...
are they taking money from
the
industry?
What was the hook for them? Were they kind of already friendly with it before? They just don't want to rock the boat, or?
You know what? I have to look. So there was an election last year. I'd have to look and see if they donated to somebody who won re-election. I honestly don't know. I honestly don't know. There were other people who ran. You know, I don't know, because you can pull up their forms. You know, they have to declare
sure.
who gave the money. But the reality is this. The maximum somebody can donate to a political campaign in our town is $250. And honestly, you know, people aren't going to get on board with $250.
No, that's kind of great. Actually, we're thinking it's bigger than that. No, $250, that isn't going to typically sway anybody.
They get on board, not for the $250, because really nobody running for city council in our town cares about $250. They get on board because the industry charms them and persuades them that this is a great thing and persuades them that there's no harms. I think that's why they get
and
on
that
board.
It's going to bring income to the city and business.
Right.
And
we're all going to benefit.
And no harm.
Yeah.
And no harm.
And no harm.
No harms.
Do they still play the medical angle, or is that pretty much gone now that it's being legalized everywhere?
Oh, gosh. They tried various, you know, they were coming up with various reasons why it was good for our community. You know, they were just kind of, you know, I don't know. It's really hard for me to say, because we were so focused on our campaign and they just became white noise to us. Mm. Now, one thing they did do, though, I will say, is that they spent so much money on that campaign, they were flooding our mailboxes with flyers. And the flyers were about just how it was a good thing for our community, but it was just the amount of money they spent and how much, how desperately they wanted to get to our community was quite astonishing. I mean, they spent almost $250,000, and we spent $7,000.
Wow.
They would spend that much money in a town that is 1.4 miles. That's how big our town is.
And how many people live there? I was just wondering about that. What's your population?
Just under 20,000. So maybe 19,500 at this point.
And they spent how much?
$225,000 just in our town. By the way, they spent that much, if not more, in Manhattan Beach.
Oh my God!
And then Redondo Beach.
Are those bigger places?
Manhattan Beach is bigger. Redondo Beach is even bigger. Yeah. So the amount of money that they were willing to spend is, like I said, astonishing. It just goes to show how much money they have.
Yeah. Well, how much money they have, and how much they plan to make, and how much skin is in the game, because nobody spends that kind of money. I mean, if you wanted to get Domino's Pizza into your town, I mean, there's no way Domino's Pizza is spending $250,000 to flood the market.
And we know from historic studies, not contemporary, not 2022, but back in 2017, studies were done showing that for every dollar brought in by a city or a community, $4.50 in hidden costs were being spent by that community through higher hospitalization rates, lower worker productivity, higher workmen's compensation, and other actual damages that could be assessed directly to having marijuana in the community.
So a dollar of marijuana revenue,
yes,
in the community,
yes.
Tax revenue?
Yes.
Okay.
The city or
yeah,
the
cost.
Yeah, go ahead,
this
Carol.
This is the hard thing with that, though, is that if you look at a city budget, what happens to people personally does not affect the city budget. And
right.
that's kind of
right.
a fundamental problem,
right.
is that the only thing you could point to that would hurt the city budget is more police force, and then sometimes you even have police officers who are good with that, or the union. Maybe not the officers of the union. They'd love to have more money to go around, more police to be hired, because there's more money. And so there are some of them that would be fine with that. But all those things you rattled off affects people personally, but this. So the city gets all the benefit and the residents take all the harm.
Right. Yeah. And right. it's not always adequately quantified because you can't, how do you, lost productivity at work, right? How do you really measure that? Kids that don't do well in school, that could be for a variety of reasons, pretty hard to pin. But it's kind of interesting that they seem to run, you know, hand in hand.
From all the HIDA reports from Colorado and California's HIDA report, which is the High Intensity Drug Activity report, it shows that workers who use marijuana regularly have higher workman's compensation, higher sick time, more employee theft, more on-the-job injuries, and are less productive. And those aren't my words. Those are the official studies from the state of California and the state of Colorado.
I'd be kind of curious. You know, we're talking about this whole legalization. What are the graduation rates? How can we compare graduation rates prior to legalization to now? Are we seeing more kids graduate high school? Well, I would be kind of curious.
And what kind of jobs are they obtaining?
Yeah.
Are they still living in mommy's daddy's basement at 25 years old, which we think we experienced when we went to a continuation school here,
right.
and we saw the kids in class, the poor teacher, the kids were high in class. And they were 18 years old. And I thought, I told a bunch of them, I said, you're not going to get a job next year. Who's going to hire you? Bill's not going to hire you at the dealer. You're going to need to get a license that's going to have maybe a DOT test to be able to drive a commercial truck. And an employer doesn't want you because you're not going to be a reliable employee.
Well, the whole drug test thing is, I think, big with everybody. I mean, if you're a drug-free workplace, before you even get on the payroll, you have to pass a drug test, and a lot of people go through the process. They get to that point, and then they drop out.
Right.
Because they know they're not going to pass.
They don't even try.
No, they don't even try.
Yeah.
They know it's
they don't
it's
even stay work. Clean long enough to even go through it.
Yep. When I taught emergency medicine here, and our students had to go through a drug test to be able to take the class, the leading drug that they were bumped out for was marijuana. So can you imagine wanting to go into medicine, maybe to go on to be a nurse or a doctor, and you can't pass a drug test with marijuana.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're using it.
And I just found out recently also that, you know, they have these kits that you can, if you know you're going to get drug tested, you can drink the magic flu or whatever. And it masks. Well, the problem with that is now is a lot of employers, when you take that product, yeah, it does mask it, but your lab results come back undefined or
right.
Whatever, and that's the same as a fail. You have to wait 6 months and take the test again. So, yeah, it masks the marijuana, but it
doesn't clear it.
It's an unspecified result. And so once it comes back unspecified, then you failed, basically. You don't get hired. They put you on hold for 6 months.
Well,
so it's something to think about.
Nothing good's going to come from all this. We have to escape. We've got the news coming, and then we're going to come back. We're going to come back with Heidi, and we're going to come back with Carolyn.
Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on. Go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on. Get paid. And all.